Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
I was talking to Deion Sanders one time, and he said, man, everybody in their life got a turn back moment. Everybody has a moment where they could turn around and go back. He said, the problem is most people do.
87,000 buildings and homes damaged. 100,000 people suddenly without homes.
You realize that you are very small on this earth. It's, you know, there's something you can't control. And this is Mother Nature doing its thing.
Sometimes poems come from not being at peace. Sometimes poems come from the noise. But in that case, the poem is the way that you look for the peace.
Interesting.
The poem is the way that you look, that you make the silence.
Today, get set for samples from Fill in the Blanks, The Big One, and Inside the Writer's Head. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Tripp Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe even help you find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here email blast at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us at Apple Podcasts. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. Now, with special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Wiser Advisors, Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and writing, research, and curation support from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. If you turn on the TV during the workday, there's a good chance you'll come face-to-face with a man known as Dr. Phil. His TV show of the same name has been on the air for nearly two decades, but who is the real Dr. Phil McGraw? With this podcast, Fill in the Blanks, you'll meet a new side of television's most notorious doctor as he delves into the minds of the most interesting and accomplished people in the world today. From celebrities to ordinary people in extraordinary circumstances to the world's leading experts and disruptors, every guest is provocative, informative, and relevant. Dr. Phil has recently hosted such names as Kathy Bates, Dax Shepard, Shaquille O'Neal on the show to discuss their careers, their shortcomings, and the things they learned. Pull up a chair and take a listen to the side of Dr. Phil you might not ever have known about. And we've got a perfect sample for you here to do just that from the episode of Fill in the Blanks featuring fellow TV personality Steve Harvey. Steve and Phil share wisdom, swap stories from their time in Hollywood, and reflect on what they did to make it where they are today. In this snippet, Steve talks about the early years of his career and what he calls his turn back moment.
You get to Hollywood when? When did you finally get here and do a gig in Hollywood? Was it a show? What did you do?
No, my first moment in Hollywood was a TV show called Me and the Boys on ABC. I had gotten on Showtime at the Apollo in 91. That was my turn back moment. I was talking to Deion Sanders one time, and he said, man, everybody in their life got a turn back moment. Everybody has a moment where they could turn around and go back. He said, the problem is most people do. He said, so what was your turn back moment? And I was in a hotel. I was homeless. And I was washing up in the hotel. And I used to like to go to like Ritz-Carlton's and Four Seasons to wash up because they had them bathroom doors that went all the way to the ceiling and floor.
Yeah.
So it was private. They couldn't look up under there. And they had towels rolled up in baskets. So the way I would bathe is I would get the basket, run hot water under all the towels in the basket, take them in the stall, shut the door, and wash up. Then I wait, make sure nobody was out there. I go out there and get the other basket, run hot water under it, take them, then I rinse off. And that was my bath. And so I made sure I always stayed in parking lots with hotels that had that. One morning, man, a convention was in town. And I had got all of the washcloths under the hot water. And I took the soap and I was soaping up. But a convention had let out for breakfast. And when I got soaped up, people just kept coming in. They just kept, and they never stopped. And they just kept coming, man. I was going, Jesus, man. And the soap is starting to dry on me. And I let the toilet seat down, and I'm sitting on the lid, man, and I just started crying. I said, I can't take this no more. I'm going to quit. I'm going to call my father, ask him, can I come back home and stay up in the attic for 3 months till I get a job? I'm going to quit.
That was your turn back moment.
That was my turn back moment. And so they just dried, the people never stopped coming. So I just put my clothes on, man. I had dry soap all over me, man. And I was crying. I got in my car and I went to the payphone. And I was going to call my father, but I was in like Pensacola, Florida, I think. And I was about 15 hours from Cleveland. So I said, well, let me see if I can call my answering machine, see if I can pick up a gig before I quit. So I have about $50 or $75 before I call my dad. I call and I get a message. Hey, Steve Harvey, this is Chuck Sutton with Showtime at the Apollo. We saw a terrific tape of you. We love you. We think you're hysterical. If you can get to Harlem at Apollo Theater on Sunday, we'll put you on TV. Wait a minute, man. This is all I've been waiting on. I'm on TV. Click. Call me back at this number if you're available Sunday. It's Thursday. I got $35. I can't make it to New York. So I hang up the phone and I'm sitting there, man, in tears. Now I'm really crying because a dude for the first time called me and said I could be on TV. But dog, I don't have no way to get there. I said, man, I've been wanting to be on TV, man. Dude, give me a shot. I got $35. I got no friends I can call, nothing, man. I left Cleveland. I left everybody.
A sample from Fill in the Blanks, Dr. Phil's weekly podcast, a new side of the TV staple with Fill in the Blanks, available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. As climate change, limited resources, and water scarcity continue to encroach on the way we live, it seems the only certainty is that things are going to have to change. One thing that's for sure is that there's a 50% chance Southern California will be crippled by a 7.8 or worse magnitude earthquake sometime in the next 30 years. It'll take less than 2 minutes for more than 10 million people to lose water, power, internet, and more. As the massive earthquake looms in the uncertain future, the Big One host Jacob Margolis and producer Misha Isif have embarked on a journey to understand what the disaster means for Los Angeles, the U.S., and the world. The Big One is your survival guide for a disaster wherever it happens. You'll have everything you need to feel prepared and in control if the moment ever comes. Let's shake you up with a little sample from the first episode of The Big One called The Earthquake. The episode details the first few hours of an earthquake and what you might expect to see and feel as the debris begins to settle. In this clip, Jacob documents the Northridge quake, a 3.5 magnitude earthquake from 1994.
There's not a single person alive today that lived through the last big one in Southern California. That's because the last big one was in 1857. The closest thing we can compare it to is the Northridge quake, which was on January 17, 1994. It was early in the morning on a Monday, and at the time, I was 5 and I was asleep in my bed.
And everything changed about 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's my dad, Mark.
Literally startled awake by a freight train driving right through our bedroom.
And we both literally jumped out of bed. It was like, it was so loud. I'd never heard anything like it.
And my mom, Melissa.
The blinds that were supposed to be hanging vertical were like out horizontal. The house lifting up like 10 feet and being slammed down back onto the ground. It was everything in your house crashing onto the floor.
The refrigerator opened up and everything fell out. So your house smells like soy sauce and hoisin sauce and wine and anything is in there.
Oil.
And the first thing is to save your children. And Sophie was screaming. She was screaming.
After it happened, we had a whole bunch of windows and doors that wouldn't open or close. We had all these walls that were cracked. And it was like someone had placed our whole life in a vise and just twisted.
Basically, we were left here with me and Melissa, two kids, in a house that was pretty badly damaged, cold, and really no way to heat the place. I remember driving down one of the main streets, and there were broken gas lines as well as broken water lines. There were also flames coming out of the water. It was very surreal, you know? So, burning water. I mean, how often do you see that?
Our house was really messed up, so we had to leave. We stayed with relatives, and I remember living in a trailer in our backyard for months. Compared to some, we had it pretty easy.
We are getting reports of freeways closed, Los Angeles International Airport, we are told, has been closed
the San Diego freeway structural nature other than the portion of the collapsed freeway which you showed
us a moment ago. Earthquake that struck Southern California at 4:35 this morning has caused a number of injuries. A number of buildings have...
57 people died. Structural damage. 87,000 buildings and homes damaged. 100,000 people suddenly without homes.
You realize that you are very small on this earth. It's, you know, there's something you can't control. And this is Mother Nature doing its thing.
After a few years, our lives went back to normal. But this feeling of uneasiness remained. 25 years after Northridge, and it's still here.
A sample from the big one from Southern California Public Radio. You can pick up some handy survival tips from the big one, newly available on WVXU's Podcast Central. If you're an aspiring writer, our local feature this week is a must listen. It's called Inside the Writer's Head from Cincinnati and Hamilton County Library Foundation. It features engaging conversations with writers, editors, and publishers from all different genres and backgrounds. From Inside the Writer's Head, their insights can help you learn the ins and outs of the industry, help you feel more creative, and help you get your work out there. All told, you'll hear some entertaining interviews with creative, inspiring authors who are shaping the literary scene both here in Cincinnati and around the country. Check out this sample from a recent episode of Inside the Writer's Head featuring Cincinnati poet laureate Manuel Iris. Iris, who teaches English at DePaul Cristo Rey High School in Cincinnati, joins the show to discuss his poetry, his origins as a poet, and how music has influenced his work. In this snippet, he answers the difficult question, how do you write a poem?
How do you start? Where do you sit? What tool you use? How you sit down to create a poem? Because you've created many very successful poems that touch people. So I want to hear about the process of creating, let's say, one of those poems.
Well, the first thing that I need is time. I write slowly, and I do not write that much. It is true that I have written some successful poems, some poems that people remember. But it is true that those are among a very small amount of poems. I have not written many books. I have republished the same book over and over.
That's all that's necessary.
And people remember my poems for two reasons. One is because maybe the poem is good enough to remember. And second is because I'm always reading the same poems. And that is precisely because I believe that a poem is always has something to say. I don't believe in novelty. I am not obsessed with having a new book coming out every four months or every year. Between my books, there is a distance always of about 5 years between one another. So I need time. And I need quiet. But I am not talking about my room being quiet. I grew up in a house full of people and full of kids, and there was never quiet. But I need to have some inner quiet, some existential quietness to be able to write. So I can write where my daughter is. There is no problem. But I need to be calm, and I need to be somehow at peace to write. Sometimes poems come from not being at peace. Sometimes poems come from the noise. But in that case, the poem is the way that you look for the peace.
Interesting.
The poem is the way that you look, that you make the silence.
Oh, that's very interesting.
So I need time. I mumble a lot. I walk around because words don't come to me. Rhythms come to me.
That's from your music.
Yes. So I have some like, la 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 or something in my head, mm-hmm. and that la 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 becomes a word. Sometimes I can behind that sound I see the words, and those words are the first verse or maybe the end, and those words then I start pulling from that thread, and that becomes a verse, and that verse pulls the other, and then I have something that I start correcting. I'm an obsessive editor. I don't let my poems go just like I written them. I don't believe in first drafts. I obsessively draft and draft and draft and correct and correct. And always my corrections are almost never adding words. It's always taking words from the poem. It's always deleting. It's always erasing.
Interesting, because you had talked about how creating silence or emptiness or space a lot.
Yes.
And so when you talk about editing your work, removing words.
Removing all the time.
And creating white space on the page.
Yes.
And emptiness in the spaces of the poem.
Yes.
So that's very interesting. That it kind of goes
I try to let the poem say as much as it can say with the least words that I can use.
A sample from the podcast Inside the Writer's Head from the Library Foundation. Pick the brains of some of your favorite local and national authors with the help of Inside the Writer's Head. Ready for listening now on WVXU's Podcast Central. Before we wrap up, let's wander over to the Apple Podcast Charts to check out what's hot and sweeping the nation via iTunescharts.net. Well, we find two new podcasts have hit the top of the charts since we last talked. The first is The Dropout from ABC News. It's a 6-part series about Elizabeth Holmes. She was supposed to be the next Steve Jobs, but when it turned out her tech didn't work, her lies were exposed and her company imploded. The podcast, The Dropout, is number one. The other number one is also a newcomer. It's Mobituaries with CBS Sunday Morning host Mo Rocca. The new podcast looks at the life of a person we all love and remember, but instead of a linear approach of from birth to death with interviews from those who knew him or her, Rocca takes an audio journey into, as he says, the reevaluation of the life, courtesy of clips from CBS News' archive and fresh interviews with friends, lovers, and experts. That's Mobituaries, number one on the Apple Podcast charts. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more information about podcasts we like, check out Podcast Central at WVXU.org. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@WVXU.org or call us at 513-294-8030 and we'll add your voice to ours. For now, I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.